Good morning. The peace of Christ be with you all today as we gather for Pentecost. It is good to be together, even if it is the most unusual way that we have gathered for worship. I had to find a liturgically correct red mask to go with my Pentecost. Are we still working on? Have we got? Okay. Welcome to folks that are coming in by Zoom as well. Last month, as the session met and as we heard from the pastor nominating committee, we knew that we needed to call a congregational meeting. That kind of meeting has to be live so that we can discuss and talk. And so that presented a unique challenge for the church. We knew that we would be able to gather together and worship in sanctuary by today. And so we decided to do it both in sanctuary and by Zoom. Of course, in the last couple of weeks, gathering in churches have become rather politicized, but we're gathering because of a unique moment in the life of this church and the calling of a new pastor. What Jackson found in the minutes of First Presbyterian Church in 1918 during the Spanish flu epidemic, the search committee from this church called the Reverend, let me get his name, Reverend Henry DeBose. They journeyed all the way down to Birmingham, Alabama to hear him preach and call him. And that search committee, Harriet, who's on the present search committee, her great-grandfather, Dr. Harper, was on that search committee. So the church continues to do its work in all kinds of seasons. Thank you for being here today. I thank the work group that came up with the plan for us to worship safely and distance today. I appreciate you wearing masks and helping out with all of that. They used the presbytery policy to think about how to gather safely. Let me mention that after this Sunday, we're going to return to videotaping services and posting them online. The session will be watching and discerning when the right time to get back to regular gathered worship will be. And it's hard to know yet when that will be. But just to let you know, we'll return in June to online worship. Please note, as we're leaving the sanctuary, it's going to be really easy to all clog up as we head out. So let's take our time. You can share and talk from the pews, but if you're in the aisles or in the hallway, just keep moving so that folks can continue to move out. I believe the last thing that I want to mention, you might have noticed the sail shade in the playground, which is an Eagle Scout project being worked on by Elliot Jones. And I believe that concludes the announcements. We will have a brief worship service this morning and then continue to our main reason for gathering, which is the congregational meeting. So let us pray. Almighty God, at the feast of Pentecost, you sent your Holy Spirit to the disciples, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel. Empower us with that same spirit to witness to your redeeming love and draw all people to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It is Pentecost Sunday. We will hear the Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, the story, the telling of the beginning of the church and the first Pentecost. And as we prepare to hear that scripture and as we attend to the scriptures, let us pray. Gracious God, let the light of your Holy Spirit illumine your word for us this morning so that it may bear fruit in our lives. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Acts chapter 2, the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we heard them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this is certainly the strangest and most unlikely way that we have experienced Pentecost. Pentecost is the Sunday on which the church celebrates its raucous and fiery beginning. We remember the massive crowds of people, the hundreds and hundreds of religious pilgrims who were in Jerusalem for the religious celebration of the Feast of Weeks. It was then, completely unexpectedly, that the Holy Spirit blew forth a rush of wind and flaming tongues of fire. Peter stood up, and he preached a sermon about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And crowds responded in unprecedented outpourings of faith. Yet today, Pentecost 2020, we gather as a remnant, a small representation, or I should say, that's what I wrote in my manuscript. We're actually a larger congregation than what I expected today, but of course, we still have people listening from home. We are masked, and we are separating from one another in order to protect each other. Is there anything else we can do? And we're working hard to make sure everybody can hear what is going on. We've quite rightly and cautiously curtailed any singing, again, to protect one another. We haven't even passed out bulletins today. What is a Presbyterian supposed to do without a bulletin? Doesn't look much or feel much like Pentecost, but that does not mean that this is not a very important day. And a day that I suspect you may remember for many years to come. This Pentecost may remind us in ways that we have forgotten that the church has always been a gift of the Holy Spirit. We did not create it. We cannot sustain the church on our own human efforts. As the people of God, we always depend upon the Spirit of life for the shared life that we have together. We simply live by faith. That first Pentecost did not come through the efforts of a long-range planning committee. It happened completely unexpectedly through the wind and the breath of the Spirit. The disciples were simply prepared that day. The disciples would never again be able to duplicate that first Pentecost. But Christian faith would spread throughout the known world as smaller communities of Christians and home churches shared the good news story of Jesus. In order to share with you why this is an important day and how on Pentecost we trust in the Holy Spirit, I want to tell a story, a parable. It's a sailing parable. Now, I am not a sailor, but the way that the scriptures often talk about the Holy Spirit is by referring to wind, and sailors deal with wind. This parable comes from a Presbyterian minister named Michael Lindball, who used to live and pastor a church near Lake Michigan, and he knew sailing. So I share it with you this morning, a description of a sailor taking out his sailboat on Lake Michigan. We keep an old sailboat up in Pentwater, halfway between Little Point Sable to the south and Big Point Sable to the north. The wind blows hard most of the summer, straight across the lake out of the southwest, 3 days and four. Pentwater Harbor is a snug little refuge separated from the big lake by a longish narrow channel with two stone jetties at the end and a stubby red lighthouse at the tip of the northerly one. To get a sailboat out of the harbor and into the big lake, you have to use what sailors call an auxiliary. Auxiliary is a word that sailors use to avoid saying a word that they don't like, which is engine. Our boat celebrates her 30th birthday this summer. Her auxiliary is also 30 years old, a Universal Marine Atomic 4 built in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It always starts, runs well enough, but it's noisy and it vibrates and it belches carbon deposits every few days. But the auxiliary is the only way to get through the channel out to the big lake, so every sail starts with a period of what engineers call noise, vibration, and harshness. But on every sail, there comes this lovely moment, a few hundred yards past the breakwater into the lake, when you reach down, twist the old brass key, and turn off the old atomic four. You have just set the sails. The boat is still nose to the wind, so they're fluffing wildly. You flip the engine off and pull the tiller so that the wind slowly fills the sails. As the wind fills the sails, she just comes alive. She heals and leaps forward silently. Everything is suddenly steady and firm. She becomes all that she was made to be. She dances through the waves, moving faster and faster with grace and confidence. Friends, today we are living by auxiliary, and to follow the metaphor, that means we are living by faith. The church has spent much of its 2,000 years of life living by faith, sometimes gurgling and burping along, trusting in the unseen guidance and life-giving wind of the Spirit. There are moments when the church's sails fill with wind and she becomes all that she was made to be, dancing through the waters, moving faster and faster with grace and confidence. But throughout church history, there have been these long stretches where we simply live by faith, trusting in God for the future. Those first disciples, however, were prepared for that moment when the Holy Spirit blew. And this day is an important day of preparation for the future of First Presbyterian Church, Danville. Your pastor nominating committee, which you have chosen and pray for, has discerned the person to be your next pastor. And it is really something to reflect upon a search committee faithfully fulfilling its work and trusting in God during a pandemic. This is one to remember. The day will come sometime in the future when a vaccine will help us to return to life more like we have known it in the past, just like the days when plagues have finished their course, we will return. We'll return to community concerts, school graduations, weddings, and sporting events. But people will have been changed by this experience. People will have been reminded of our shared human mortality. People will have asked themselves more penetrating questions about what their lives mean. People will be ready and eager to experience community and communion with others. So, Christian disciples, best be prepared for that time, because we may anticipate the Spirit moving and breathing new life into our sails, making us dance across the waters in new ways. Right now, we live by faith and prepare ourselves. And the good news is that we are always in God's hands. God keeps us and keeps our lives, just as He always does. Know that God's Spirit will sustain each one of you. I close with a prayer from William Sloane Coffin during another precarious time in the life of the church. O God, our Creator, we pray for your church and specifically for this church. May it be free, courageous, and compassionate, a safe harbor when the winds of the world are high against us and the only safe ship to sail out of the harbor to take on the storms of life. O Jesus Christ, bleeding and broken and bowed yet unconquered, you who reign from the cross, pour out your Spirit on all your churches. Revive your work that men and women may be ready to tell of your justice, peace, and salvation to the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you. there are so many prayer concerns that are all on our hearts and minds right now. I want to name a few of them. I know that I will not be covering all of them, but we continue to keep Chuck LaPlaca in our prayers after the passing of Mary Ann and as he continues to heal from his own surgery. We keep Elaine Lee's daughter Lois in our prayers as she is healing after surgery. Betsy Wilson is having shoulder surgery tomorrow. Keep Betsy in our prayers. Ellie Honea has been diagnosed with a mild symptom coronavirus case. She is in Japan. Fortunately, her body's reaction to the coronavirus has only displayed mild symptoms, but we can imagine her being cut off from family in Japan. We keep Ellie in our prayers. I would ask your prayers for my wife's husband, Charlie Merrill. Charlie had a stroke last week. He's having extended rehabilitation and, of course, isolated from his family. We continue to keep Diane Shelton, Nancy Wilson in our prayers. Nancy has relocated to the rehabilitation center in Gretna, and she is, after back surgery, still having pain. We keep Nancy in our prayers. We keep our nation in our prayers. We are experiencing another time of great violence and division, and we pray for reconciliation in our nation as we watch the news. With all the many things that are on our hearts and minds this morning, we offer them up to God, so let us pray together. Great Spirit of life, Holy Spirit, you are the holy wind of our lives. From the beginning, you have filled the earth with your breathing power, and all of creation depends upon you for the multitude of gifts that surround us. You lead and guide us with your gentle, invisible hand upon our shoulder. You connect us through the ties of faith, hope, and love, even in a day when we are physically isolated from each other. We sing forth your praise this Pentecost morning and world. On this day, marking the beginning of the church, we offer our prayers for the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Let your Spirit inspire Christians in every different corner of the world to continue in faith and follow in the ways of our Lord. Help us to make the most of these days that seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and faithfulness may take root in new ways. Ever provident God, hear our prayers for those on our hearts and minds, for those that we have named this morning, for those on the prayer list, for each of us in our own needs and in our own challenges in life. Provide what is most needed. Grant us thankfulness during a trying season. Watch over Danville in days to come. Protect those who are on the front lines of providing care, food, and the necessities of life. Give the leaders of our state and our nation wisdom, patience, and compassion for the sake of our people. Watch over the men and women of our military serving at even greater risk than usual and protect their families. Living Spirit of God, go before each one of us this day. Guide us and sustain us until that time that we gather again. Now we join together in the prayer that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory . Friends, we will stay for the congregational meeting, but hear the benediction. As you go from here, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. He goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Let me call us to order for this congregational meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
We have a quorum.
Great. The purpose of the meeting is to hear the report from the pastor nominating committee and to proceed to the election of a pastor. So let us pray. Gracious God, we gather for this congregational meeting during a unique and anxious time. Yet, as always, we trust that you guide and lead us. You provide for us in our efforts to live as your grateful people. Let your Spirit be with us during this meeting and direct our deliberations. Help us to be faithful to the calling to follow Christ. For his sake we pray. Amen. Tom, we've been looking forward to this. We have a report from the PNC chair, Tom Gillespie.
Thank you. Let me take just a second to get my electronics worked out. Are we okay on the video and the audio feed now? All right, I should be unmuted now. Can you hear me okay in the congregation? Okay. Okay. Mr. Moderator, thanks for the opportunity to be here this morning and to make the report to the congregation, and thank you so much for being here this morning. Before I go too far, let me introduce you to the pastor nominating committee who is here this morning. I served as the chair. We also have Susan Mathenas here, Joyce Perez, Bob Newnham, Lee Blunt, John Paris, and Harriet Beal. Okay. To help recall, you all elected us in August of 2018 to serve as your pastor nominating committee. In our first meeting, we got together and we're told how to get organized and what to expect, but nobody really fully could have told us what to expect. We were told, just do the best you can do, and if you meet each week, you're likely to succeed in a reasonable period of time. When we worked through our organizational discussions, we set some ground rules among ourselves. First, that the entire process would be surrounded by prayer. Every meeting, every conversation we had, whether by telephone or by Zoom or by Skype, any visit, any decision we made, we would meet weekly. We met every Wednesday and more frequently. And also that no decision regarding a call to a pastor would be made until it was very much unanimous and very much where we could look each other in the eye and say, this is what we believe is the will of God. We also said, even in a time of this illness, which we didn't expect, but we would not extend a call until we'd had a personal face-to-face conversation with a candidate. We gathered our data together and published the church information form or ministry information form. Each candidate, to give you an idea how the system flows, fills out a personal information form, and that data is fed into a central repository and comes out with possible matches of those who are seeking calls with churches. That's just one of the pathways we followed. We also heard recommendations from church members, friends. We got self-referrals from candidates who knew that First Presbyterian Church Danville was seeking a senior pastor. We were on email chat lists with other people around the country, letting their friends know that if you're interested, send an email to our PNC. And I would tell you that the work of our committee brought us together close as a group, much closer than I think any of us would have expected to believe to when we began. and we got to know some really, truly wonderful people. We had some very high highs and some very low lows along the way. Yep, it didn't work exactly how we had it planned. This is God's plan, not ours. Today, I want to tell you that we are very excited to report to you that our committee is unanimously and joyously extending our nomination to you and reporting to you that we've selected Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Brochard to be the candidate that we ask you to approve to become the senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church, Danville. And as we said to each other, I will also follow with you. We absolutely firmly believe that this is the Spirit of God called for this congregation. It is the right person at the right time for this place. Today's vote is because the candidate has been examined by the presbytery. They have issued a written confirmation that they concur in this call. And further, our vote this morning is the last step for the congregational approval, and at this moment it is only tentative, and let me make sure we understand the tentative nature. Under our presbytery system, the final call will be after the official examination of the candidate before the presbytery and their entrance and election as a member of the presbytery, or their acceptance as a member of the presbytery. That'll be a pro forma step that we expect in August. The examination has been already completed, and we have the written concurrence of the presbytery that Elizabeth could become the senior pastor of this church and the moderator of the session upon her entry into Danville and on a mutually agreed time frame. But before I go too far, let me caution each of us. This is a sensitive time frame. I'm telling you this information. The church where Elizabeth, and I'll start calling her Beth, is the senior pastor today, does not know this information. So I would urge you to refrain from contacting friends where you may know someone. It is a pastor's privilege to be the person who announces to their congregation their departure and acceptance of a call to another church. Just as we heard earlier that Jackson had done some history, and this is not the first time in 100 years that we've searched for a pastor during a pandemic, I also have heard from a number of you all that we have a lot of contacts who are from the general vicinity where Beth grew up, pastored. So lots of y'all have told me we're normally a few miles down the road. So let me continue by saying that the committee nominates Elizabeth Brochard. Let me give you some background of her information. She holds a master's in divinity degree from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, where she was a recipient of the Carl Heisen Honor Scholarship and a Lilly Foundation Scholarship for Journalists. And I'll tie that in a minute. Dr. Brochard holds a Doctor of Ministry degree from Duquesne Theological Seminary with a specialty and her dissertation in missional spirituality. She has undergraduate degrees beginning at Cleveland State Community College and Lee University. She has a very wide history of different occupations and skill sets. She was an entrepreneur doing various home repair types of work. She can do almost anything that I have no clue how to do around a house. She also is a church musician, choral director in a lot of different denominations as a avocation calling, and then served as the executive director of the Southeastern Ohio Symphony Orchestra for 6 years. 10 years prior to attending seminary, Beth was a reporter for the Daily Jeffersonian in Cambridge, Ohio. It seems that there was a scholarship for journalists to seminary who needed to have a background in order to have more theological oomph in their writing about church matters. And almost tongue-in-cheek, the editor approached Beth and said, I think you'd be a good candidate for this scholarship, and the rest is history. They knew, I think, when they nominated her that they would never see her again after she left the seminary. On a personal note, Beth's married to Jerry Broussard. Jerry is both a Baptist minister and also is a retired Presbyterian pastor as well. He's moved into this denomination. And they will be moving to Danville, bringing with them another household member, Joyce Joe, who intends to be active in this congregation. They have 4 children and 5 grandchildren. I'm not going to try to pronounce all the names right now. The exact terms of call we mailed out to you in advance, and as a sidebar to try to outrun a question which is common in our congregation, let me go ahead and try to answer it first by saying the terms of call are exactly within the budget range that was established by the session in 2018. I think that is enough. So if I will go officially then, and in a spirit of rejoicing, I want to make a personal note to thank Steve Willis and before him, John McDonald. They did yeoman's labor to help us, encourage us, teach us, make reference phone calls for us, introduce people that we might want to talk to. They have been immeasurably helpful in this process. So in official conclusion, the pastor nominating committee moves the following: that the congregation approves the call of the Reverend Dr. Elizabeth E. Rochard as pastor of the First Presbyterian Church, Danville, Virginia, on the terms specified in the attached terms of call. Dr. Rochard has been approved to serve in this capacity by the Presbytery of the Peaks, pending her formal acceptance into the presbytery.
Thank you, Tom. The motion has been made by the pastor nominating committee. It does not need a second, but let me ask the congregation if there are any questions. Or any discussion? Having gone by Robert's rules and permitted time for discussion and question, it seems to me that you are ready to proceed to vote. Joyce, do we have folks ready to vote on Zoom? Okay. So for people on Zoom, you may raise your hand when we vote, or what would be the opposite of, I guess, a thumbs down?
And thumbs up and thumbs down, because I can see each of you on Zoom through my thing.
All right. Seeing that we're ready to proceed to vote, all in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
All those opposed, please say no.
It appears from my view that the Zoom vote is unanimous.
Good. Well, Madam Clerk, that motion carries unanimously and is approved. I'll just say a very brief word of thanks to this PN, to Tom and to this PNC. This has been a faithful and patient and diligent crew. I think they deserve our congratulations. Let us adjourn with prayer. Thank you, loving God. Thank you for the way that you provide for your people to live the Christian life. Bless the efforts made this day for the good purposes of your kingdom. We thank you for the faithful work of this PNC, and we lift Beth in our prayers to you as she begins the work of leaving, moving, and beginning a new call to ministry. Watch over her, her husband, and family. Watch over all of us, we pray. Amen. Go in peace.